So that was in Sibkoton Base on Daf Kuf Lamed Base. So what came out of that Maisa though was that when a person's standing in front of the Melech, he doesn't move his hands around. And we said that on Shabbos, a person's hands have to be tied, not literally tied, but because there's so much on Shabbos that a person can contravene with his hands, you have to be very careful when he uses his hands. And the vort is not that. Because as an Issa Shabbos, you have to be careful with your hands. No, it's because you Oimed Lifnei HaMelech. We have a Messiah he brought. That was what we saw there. That when you're standing in front of the Melech, you don't move around, you don't shake, you don't, you stand with a correct covered Lifnei HaMelech. So on Shabbos, we Lifnei HaMelech. Look, that was what came out of last week. We need to see this Meiser again properly. If it's not a Shem Blineda this week, I'll go into it and we'll try and take out the Ganser Meiser. Fascinating story. Oh, well, I want to continue on Kuf Lamed Gimel, paragraph Gimel. The beginners Esther Matsanu Shenikre Meshar Seamelech, Sri Seamelech. In Megillas Esther, the servants of the Melech are called Sarisi. Sarisi, those Loshen Sarisi Amelech means the servants of the Melech. V'yesh b'forshim shemisha yo'imed u'mishares lemelech, m'sarsim oisei milohilid. Saris is somebody that can't have children. That means they were called Sarisi Amelech because those people that served the Melech there in Bachashverosh, They were sarosim. They couldn't have children. What's the movement here? What's behind that? Is that somebody who's serving the melech has to be completely single-minded, defocused on serving the melech. That has to become his essence. He's got a family, he's got children, he's got other responsibilities. Then when he's serving the Melech, he's also thinking about how he's going to pay the rent. And the little Yankel, he needs to speak to the Cheder Rebbe, and he needs to go, yeah, and he's tofus with many things. And he's not me'achuz, exclusively focused on serving the Melech. That's the move on behind that understanding. He's not 100% dedicated to the Melech. And therefore, they would infertilize them. Therefore, they have nothing else. They have a wife, they have children. Rak hasharut shel ha-melech. V'ze ha-she tofes is called ha-ve-yoysam etz yoysam tamid. Sounds a bit shocking to us. People would do such a thing. Well, ze ha-muvan. That's what they did. Ze ha-muvan. He was completely dedicated, given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very interesting. We have a locha, a Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, the chazan that davens from the Amud. Who's Masharis Lifnei HaMelech has to have a wife and children. Interesting, no? Because he has to know about compassion and feelings and understand what Tzoros is of other. About there by their kings, he had to be Meyuchad Rak to me, no other thoughts. So there's a vault there. Vasapa Masha Shamati, Lo Mizman, Mimanael Musad Batzil Tabrit. He said, I'll tell you a story I heard not long ago. This was, how long ago was this? This was almost 30 years ago he wrote the Sefer. So he heard from a certain Menahel of a Mossad in one of the schools in America. Even in our generation, where we don't even have a musag of covered v'malchus. We have a musag of covered and malchus. You're standing in front of the prime minister today, standing in front of your guy there in America, whatever. I don't know what it's like in Switzerland. I don't know what goes on in Switzerland. They don't have a king there. What are they? They have a president, a prime minister. They have somebody that knows what he's doing. Anyway, but certainly there's nobody we're aware of. Could be in some of the Arab states, the Sultan of Saudi Arabia, whatever, the people might be scared of him. Well, in the Western world today, and Shumbusak, they are in some of the Eastern countries, for Nepal, for example. I don't know today, but many years ago, the king of Nepal wasn't just a king, he was a god. You can't just be a king, you have to be a god as well. So there was a shtickle Reimamus and a shtickle feeling of what's called Malchus. You get a sense of it. You had to have a picture of the king in every house, in every bedroom, in every shop, in every there was a picture of the king, and he was some kind of, they used to dove into him and whatever. It was against Tarampa. In our world, the musag of covered, there isn't a musag of covered, never mind covered anything. There's no covered left in the world. But he said, even in our generation, this manahel of this school said that even in our generation, you can see Pam Ahmad Nasiya Medina, Laruch Biku Ba'isa Mossad. The president of this of Otzata Brit of America, I don't know which one it was coming to visit this institution. And of course, before the Nossi comes, then all his sidekicks come to make sure that everything's in order. Everything's the way it's supposed to be for covered for the Nossi. But they wanted to take down the pictures that were in the walls of the reception room. There were curtains in this room that had certain drawings, some patterns on them, whatever. They wanted plain. They didn't want fancy curtains. They wanted plain one color curtains. And all the pictures off the walls. Vasiba. Because if there's something, what's mekushet, is adorned, you know, something that's even a little bit, yitachen shekishinim tzanosi, yakishut yitfoses eina umachshavoytoi shel kol hanochachim. Could be that people are busy looking at the nice surroundings, and the nice furniture, and the kishut, and the nice pictures on the wall, so that... people, their attention will be taken off the Nasi, and they'll be looking at all the other nice things in the room. What's the problem? Yeah, the Nasi, you have to be focused purely on the Nasi. Everything else in the room is a distraction. You see, in the White House, they have psychologists that understand this. They're coming to visit some Haredi institution. The Nasi is making a bikur there. Then you have to make sure that there's nothing in the room that distracts the people from the Nasi himself. Because the truth is, he doesn't really have anything to attract him. I don't know if you ever went to a shir of Moshe Shapiro. I didn't go very often, but once or two occasions I went to his Thursday night shir. It wasn't just a shir, it was an event. There must have been over 1,000 people there. And when Moshe walked in and stood on the bama, whatever, in front of the shtender, I'm telling you now, I don't care what went on in that room, you wouldn't have noticed it. He was such a presence. He was such a magnet. You couldn't take your eyes off him. Can't tell you what it was, because he didn't look mashu charig or whatever. He was just, there was a presence about him. But the Nazi of America, when you bring him into the room, the curtains could distract you, because who at small doesn't really have that much of his own in the world. But anyway, the vault's a vault. That even today, where we don't have so much understanding of COVID and whatever, but in America, they understand when the Nasi comes, everybody has to be focused on him, and you can't have things distracting from the Melech. How awesome! Who would have taken this and popped this into Shabbos? For that, you need Rav Pinkas to do. How awesome are these Masholim, he says, Klape Shabbos. She'ashabbos hi kapshutoi b'chinas oymed lifnei ha-melech. Shabbos is poshut oimed lifnei hamelech. V'gamasha anu misangim b'shabbos hakol hu lichvoidoi shel hamelech v'osa b'esach hadas. Everything we're doing on Shabbos is lichvoidoi, and therefore you can't have hesach hadas. Obviously, as we mentioned at length, 100% hesach hadas, I mean, simas lev and das, we're not there, we're not holding there, but at least just the awareness that there should be some simas alive on Shabbos, no matter what you're doing, because on Shabbos we do lots of things. We're not like the servants of Achashverosh, who Hashem says, listen, I want you having children, I want you having wives, I want you having jobs, I want you anything, you just serve me. So then it would be a lot easier, no? If you sit at your Shabbos table, and we've learned all these wondrous things, but the kids are screaming, and this one just spilled a bottle, and this one just broke something, and then this one's pulling the other one's hair, and it's a ganser. Yeah, but even there, you have to be lifnei melech. That's the work of a Jew. Jews, we have to be able to have all of that, and still be over Nifta Melech, because when I'm changing a diaper, when I'm busy dealing with Yankel who's pulling Rochel's hair, when the other one's throwing the ketchup across the table at the system, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, this people tell me these things happen. I've never seen it, but that can sometimes happen. You know, there was once when we were Eishet Torah, so there's a big thing. You know, we didn't involve in Kiruv and whatever, and then. So one of the wives, Ostra Berkovitz, they love having visitors and whatever, and they see the milas, but she's very worried there could be a Chilul Hashem. Because when you have visitors, some of the kids behave better, but they're not always, you know, they're not always sit their best and whatever. And this one's fighting over who's going to sit in which sheet in the couch. And this one's, well, there's the usual balagan going on at the Shabbos table. And it can be a Chilul Hashem. People look and say, well, that's how fruit people have, whatever. So Roberta would say to her, he said, you're talking about Bochrim, right? She said, yes. He said, Bochrim don't know the other people in the world. Don't worry. They didn't even know you have children. So, yeah. But I'm saying that the vote is we have to be like those Mashal say Melech Pras, who have no distractions, no other interests. All their only interest is to serve the Melech. We have to do that with all the other interests, because those aren't other interests. That's also part of serving the Melech. It's not like I'm trying to serve the Melech at the Shabbos table and Yankel is disturbing me. No, dealing with Yankel is also Masharash Hashem. That's the hard thing to remember. The so-called mundane things, and that's what makes us Jewish. That's the unique Chiddush of Avraham Avinu. It's the mundane things. The things that are going on that are, like, you would think have nothing to do with Ruchnias or Eved Hashem or Kovod Hashem. So that's what you've been asked to metuple with now, the Kovod Hashem. And that's the struggle. But we have to be paying attention to what we're doing and know what we're doing and why we're doing it. I heard a Moedika Maisa, and there's a lot to do with Shabbos as well. It was a big musaf for me. Wow, it was like a patch. There were two kids in the cheder who happened to be much the best kids in the cheder. They had unbelievable middas, and they were besimcha, and they always listened, and they were bnei aliyah, unbelievable. And of course they were already nearing bar mitzvah, and the manahel of the cheder want to understand what was so, because they were more unique. And he found out that the mother is a geirus. These kids are from a house of geirim. When I read the story, I didn't think about the father. I don't know, maybe there was a father, wasn't a father, I don't know. He spoke to the mother. He wanted to know, when he heard that, he was even more shocked because there's these geirim, and how did they have such kids like this? What's the recipe for such unbelievable kids? So he called the mother, he wanted to ask the mother, what's your secret? Maybe we can share it. So, Amish, unbelievable, my sister. So she said to them, I'm a ger and my kids are gerim. They were very small when we magayed. So the halacha is you magay them al das beis din, but when they get to bar mitzvah, you have to ask them, you have to offer them the option, you have to tell them the history, and you have to offer the option. Do they want to opt in or out? She said, my biggest fear is they'll say, who needs this? So we do everything to make sure that the Yiddishkeit is so geschmack and it's so nice and it's, you know, there's no whatever, Shabbos is just whatever they want and it's kef and it's gewaldik and everything is just nice and lovely, because when we come and tell them, listen, Yankele, you're not Jewish, do you want to be Jewish or not? We want him to say, of course, why not? It's geschmack. So the vote is, you know, what are our kids going to say? You know, if we give them the choice today, they'd say, yeah, ulai, maybe, or whatever. You know, sometimes the kids are talking things at the Shabbos table. She says, oh, biduk matim for Shabbos or whatever. So you tell them, hey, guys, Shabbos, you know. She said they never did that. Whatever the kids spoke about, they let them speak, they let them whatever. You enjoy yourself, have a good time. It couldn't have been that it was totally hefka, because the kids were growing up normal. If you don't have any samchut, any boundaries, the kids are not going to grow up well. That's for sure not. They need boundaries. But they made everything possible to make sure when they asked the kids the question, do you want in? They would say yes. That was her whole matara. The mamash, a big Musa Haskil, like when you're dealing, not with kids, with anybody, with any yid, when you're dealing with, think to yourself, well, maybe ask them the question, do you want in or not? It's more shaykh to the 9:30 shiur, but I just heard this mice, as a mamash, blew me away. As a mamash, it was like getting a patch.
The best thing is to be an example. It's better to be an example than to speak too much. That means if they see it, the parents are very happy, they want to be like them.
That's all. Nachot, Rav Taubi used to say that to me all the time. Whenever I used to go to him and say, it was gewaldik what you said or whatever, how do I give that over to my children? He said, you don't. I said, what do you mean? He said, you get it right first. Then come talk to me about how you give it to your children. Yeah. And it's like you're saying, once you've got it right, you don't need to give it over to your children, because they'll get it just in the mailer, because A kid once said to me, he said, why would somebody want to go after somebody who's miserable?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be like someone who's miserable? You want to, you know, if your parents are happy, so why wouldn't you want to be like them? They've obviously got something that's good. Everybody wants to be happy. Nobody walks around wanting to be miserable. So who would you choose to be a dogma? Someone who's happy. Yep. That's the vote. But anyway, that Shabbos is not so posh to do. Shabbos is a very difficult time and place to do this, but having this, even if you think about it, three times on Shabbos, three times, even you just start with that lat, it starts sinking in. That's the power of suggestion, auto-suggestion, it's called. You don't feel it, you don't get it, you don't really, that's the switch we have to get into our heads. That Shabbos is not just another day that's very special and whatever. Shabbos is mamash. Now, when you're Oymed Melech, you can't let the kids see you being all tight and anxious and on Oymed Lefna Melech, you know, like a concrete block. No. Oymed Lefna Melech, the way Hashem wants us to go Oymed Lefna Melech on Shabbos with Oyneg and Vada. It's not a simple job.
If we think we have a Chashuv Rav at the table, we will also behave differently than if we are alone.
Of course, that's always the Musa. If you had a Choshev guest at the table, you'd be different. Rav Pultz often advises parents. Parents come to him with, you know, questions about the kids and on Shabbos and boy, they behave or whatever. He says, have visitors. Have visitors for Shabbos. You're not going to change anything. What are you going to do? You're going to change. Have visitors. The kids also get the message that when they're visitors, they do behave different. Not always, but yeah. Okay. Let's go right to Perek Yud Beis Hilchus Shabbos. I don't think we're going to learn Hilchus Shabbos. I think he's going to somehow. Let's see what he does with this. The Mishnah Berurah of Hakdamah Hilchus Shabbos. Kedai to see if you haven't seen the Mishnah Berurah's Hakdamah Hilchus Shabbos. There, it's more odd kedai to look at. That itself can put a person into a different reality klape Shabbos. Just even if you learn it once a month or once a year, even that Hakdamah changes one's whole reality of Shabbos. It's a good reminder. I gave myself a reminder. I need to look at it again in a long time. The Mishnah Berurah about Domel Hilchus Shabbos Hevi is Divrei Rabbeinu Baal HaTumim V'zeh Lishoina. He brings it from the Tumim. V'kvayi Bnoi HaGoyin Baal Urim V'tumim B'sifra Yaris Dvash Ki E'ef Sheklal B'metzias She'inatzel Me'isa Shabbos. He brings them from the Yaris Dvash. He says like this. It's impossible. It's not just high possibility, 100% impossible in the world that you'll be saved from Ibba Shabbos. Unless you learn all the halachas properly, person has to know Hilchus Shabbos. If you don't know Hilchus Shabbos, for sure you're going to be caught up in Isurim of Shabbos. Umashma, the Bashar Mitzvah Satorah. He's asking you. Why are you telling me that dafka b'Shabbos? Everything. Well, what's unique about Shabbos? You have to know all the lochas in everything. Otherwise, you're going to make mistakes. We've seen how many times we're learning Hilchus Tefillah now. We all daven and we know how to daven. We've been davening for years or whatever, but we're learning and we sing. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, why is he saying that? It seems like it's something dafka b'Shabbos. He's saying, Nag, Domot Hilchus Shabbos. It's just right in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah. This whole speech should have been there. Why did he wait for Chayli Gimel? It's a more unique insight. Umashma de Basham Mitzvah Satori, Tochen Lein Natsam Avon Alem Al Yedei HaYediyot, Shekolot Bebeis Rabboi. All the other lochas, it seems, a person can be saved from being over Yisurim, from what he got, from what he got around him, from Beis Rabboi, from Beis Hoiro, from just from the environment, from just being a little bit aware. Open your eyes. Watch what your Rebbe does. Watch what how the people behave, and you can learn how to do things properly. You heard from this one. You can't do this. You can't do that. You must do this. You don't know how to. What, you became a bok in Hilchus Chanukah. No, we know what we're doing because you absorb it by listening, by hearing, by osmosis. But Hilchus Shabbos chayv dafke leladnam hayti. Hilchus Shabbos, even though a lot of what we do on Shabbos is Messiah. When you're dealing with Bali Tshuva that are just about to start keeping Shabbos, you start explaining to them how to run their kitchen and how to handle Shabbos. They're not interested. It's much too complicated. Trying to explain to somebody how to keep Shabbos is not Shaykh. So teaching the 39 Malachas, and it's not Shaykh. So what do? You invite them over to your house. And you show them what you do as a local kach mesubach. You have a tam switchia, and you have a blech, and you have a, they see it. To try and explain it to somebody is almost impossible. They would never keep Shabbos. But they come to us and they see, okay, you know, it's not so difficult. But in Shabbos, he's telling us, it's not so posh. You have to learn all the halachas as well. V'zeh lechayir v'pnei hilchos Shabbos and kol kach rabois umit partois lepratim rabim hamitavshitim al kol tunos ha'odam heichen shu. And he says the reason is because the hilchos of Shabbos are so detailed, and details within details within details that touch on every aspect of a person's life. If you don't know the halachas, you'll come to chil Shabbos because you don't know that that's muktzah, and you don't know that this and this you can't, and this there's a million things you need to know, and they're all called kach pashut. V'yesh mokum, he says. Okay, so that's fine. So that we know. Zilo kol kach, what's this doing in a sefer like this? I don't know, but that's... So he wants to go a little bit further with this. V'yesh mokum l'toysefes hadgosha v'havona b'sheresh inyan. There's place here for an additional emphasis and an understanding in the sheresh of the matter. Let's go a bit deeper. Lama be'emes miyuchedes hilchus Shabbos mikol mitzvah satoyre? Why is what's unique about Shabbos of all the other mitzvahs in the Torah that they need a lengthy, detailed limud in order to know them well? That doesn't mean you can become a sheikhet without learning Hilchos Shechit. That doesn't mean you can become a sofer without learning Hilchos Sofros. But we see there's a special emphasis on Hilchos Shabbos. Why? What's the? When I'm shechis adover b'sipur meister shehoyo. Musupa b'sefer Omer Aish al Kadosh Yisrael Maril Diskin. Schuse Yogan Aleinu. The Maril Diskin told over the story like this. Shibyoisa Rav Belomja, he was the Rav in Lomja. Omuraya Hakaisa Nikoili Harishon Diagir Leir. The Tsar, the Kaisa, whatever, Nikoili, a well known, famous Tsar in Russia, Tsar Nikoili, was coming to Lomja, to the city, on an official visit. Vachino Anshei Kabbalas Ponim Chubedes Likreisa Kureila Melech. We're spending a lot of time today having Kabbalas Ponim with important people. Yeah, we had the Nossi of America coming to the school. Now we have Tsar Nikolai coming to Lomja. And everybody, of course, you prepare the, you know, they repaint the city, they repave the street, yeah, they do ganze business there. Barosh Hamel Sheches Amud Parnas Ha'ir Rabbi Yisrael Dibeninsky. There was a yid called Rabbi Yisrael Dibeninsky that he was like the asking, he was like the, what do you want to call, the chairman of the committee, yeah, in the city. Kishiyoshfu im Rabbeinu Lisyaitz al derech hishtap tishtatfus hakehila bekabolas pnei kaiser he plit Rabbeinu derech agav ha'orah leparsem. They came to the Maral Diskin to ask Eitzes, how do we mishtatef in this big event of the Tsar coming to visit us in Lomja? So the Maral Diskin told the Parnas, this guy that was the Askin, the big Askin, he gave him an interesting insight. Aisim yoytz lecha shelo liitziasev lifnei ha-kaiser. What's miyayetz? Hayiti miyayetz lecha shelo kityatzev. I don't know what that word means. What's lehit yatzev lifnei ha-kaiser? Anybody know what that word means? Tityatzev lifnei ha-kaiser.
Maybe it means from Yitzivut, stabilize.
How's that going to work here? That he mustn't stabilize in front of the
I don't know how it works, but Yitziv is stable.
Yeah, Yitziv, when it's standing properly. Yitziv, lifnei ha-kaiser. I think we'll see what it means now. One second. Apanas lo kibel es hora. He didn't take the advice. What he told him was, don't you tell the king that you're representing the Jewish people. To portray yourself. Don't you portray yourself as the as the miyatzeg of the Eda Ayuhudit. You're not the representative of the Jewish people. He couldn't mevateh on that. Haifasoi, that enormous, he's telling the I'm the representative of the Jewish people. Maldis can tell him, don't tell him that. But he didn't listen. Keshavah Kaiser, toch kedei tsiyere b'reiv ha-Yehudi, pona ha-Kaiser levaker es beis ha-Cholim ha-Yehudi, shruhu kam b'mavu ha-Yeh al yedei Rabbi Yisrael. When he came to the Jewish quarter, the Nikolai, he was doing a tour there, and he wanted to visit the Beit Cholim that was established, the hospital that was established by this Rabbi Yisrael, by this Askim. B'shasa b'kuhi lo ha-Kaiser al likui mesuyam b'tavnit ha-Bait. The Kaiser made an observation that there was problems in the way that the place was set up, the Beit Cholim was set up. He told him that's how it has to be according to the plans, the architectural plans. That's how it has to be. The Kaiser tzad od kama psiot v'shuv atzbia al eza pagam b'tichnun abniyah. The Kaiser went a bit further and he showed them also he has another problem with the way this building was built and designed. Rabbi Yisrael chozav asbi sheyesh yitaron b'tzuras habniyah hakayemes shetochna al yodoy. So explain to the Kaiser what the advantage is of those things that he designed like that. Od hu melamed sanagoyra al mifol yodo v'hakitzinim malavim hakifol v'hobilo. One second. Hakaiser tzad od kama psiyot v'shuv atzbi al eze pagam b'tichnot. Rabbi Yisrael chozav asbi sheyesh yiton b'tzura b'niya kemes shetochna al yodo. He explained to you what? No, you're wrong. This has to be like this. Od hu melamed sanagoyre al mifal yodov, while he was busy explaining, he was busy defending his endeavors. Vahaketzinim hamalavim hapkiu vahevil abetzor. The honor guard, the security people of the tsar, grabbed hold of him and took him to Beit Zohar, to jail. There was a law in the place. If the Kaiser points out something wrong, you don't want explaining to him. You don't have an argument to explain it to him. There's a law. You're supposed to say, you're very right, your worship, your king, whatever, 100% right, it will be dealt with straight away. You know, it's not telling him you're wrong. The king says, hey, I don't like that wall there. You tell him, there's no wall there, it's gone already. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I'm not arguing with him. You promised that within 24 hours, it's gone. The guy who did that, off with his head. You're right. He's busy telling him, you're wrong, king. He didn't know such a thing. He was a yid. The rabbi says one thing, you tell him another thing. The king tells you this. You tell him, no, you're wrong. When the king was busy pointing out the faults, he didn't know that you're supposed to agree with him. So he was showing him why it's not a fault. Sof dova, rak achre shidulim rabim shukra halo mikeloi. The bottom line of the story is at the end of the day, it took a lot of effort and whatever, in a long time, they managed to get him out of jail. Can he show Rabbeinu achakach iledei echad mimakoyrov, ma roli yeitz mirosh li Yisrael shelo yofia b'chagiget kabbala saponim? They asked the Maral Diskin, what did you understand that you told Rabbi Yisrael not to go and be the guy that's, you know, you don't be the guy that's the representative and you don't be Makabal the king. So he answered them, Ma kerni oisa ki ish poshut, v'shirati sheyichshel b'modo lifnei ha-Kaiser. Because I knew he's a poshut yid. And I know he's not going to be, you know, he doesn't understand. And he's going to be michshel in front of the king. He's going to treat the king like everybody else. And he's going to be michshel. So I told him, don't go. He didn't listen, he went, and I was right. Who would nichshal? Who would have the goal? Who would have the chutz? The Kaiser, the mamash, the Russian Tsar, is busy telling you that he doesn't like the problem there, and you start telling him that he's wrong. The Maral Diskin understood the tipus he was dealing with. Vainu, shagam ish mechubad, the nosu ponim. It was a mechubad guy. He was the leader of the community. He was the panas of the community. He built a hospital for the community. Keshem ofir v'oimid lifnei ha-melech. But when he's standing in front of a melech, im einu melomed ba'ofen meyuchad, lo yitochen shelo yichshu b'mash. That's the moshul of what we're talking about. That no matter how much of a good guy is, no matter how much he's involved or whatever, with you omed lifnei melech, there are going to be things, if you haven't learned the book of how to be in front of the melech, you're going to make mistakes. Because you have to bow properly, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. If you're in front of the melech, you're going to make mistakes. Masaprim shachofetz chayim, omo b'shavche shel ha-goyin, Reb Shloima ha-koyin mi-vilna, ha-cheshek Shloima, the mashal, Shema Yubei Samigdash Nivde Vomav Hayu Boki Lasis is Avoidus Amigdash. He said about him, if the base of Amigdash was rebuilt, he would be able to do the Avoidus Amigdash. Vainu Damashi Yodei Hilchus Trefus, Vareivim, Veiruvin. Ein Bezei Kol Kachidush. That which is a big Boki in Hilchus Trefus, Hilchus Eiruvin, that is King Grace Achidish. He's the Rov of the town, the Cheshleim for sure. Aval Hilchus Avoida? Koishim Yuchad Yeshbe. He said there are very people that know those halachos. Could be because we're not dealing with it today. So he said there are very few people that could have done the avodas hakodesh. He said could do the avodas hakodesh. There's no shimush chachomim there. So what are you going to do? You have to learn it all out from the svarim, and a big part of our avodah is the shimush chachomim. You don't have that in avodas hamikdash. אבל נירו עוד שבאמס יש קושי מיוחד לאויס בוקי בהלכס אבוידה, מפני שהן הלכס שעומד ועובד לפני המלך. He said another aspect, which is our nose. Could be that הלכס אבוידס הקודש, in the מיגדש, אבוידס המיגדש, sorry, is not so פשוט, בזל זה וקטר, we don't have it, we don't see it, we don't have the שימוש. He said, but there's an added difficulty that needs a special qualification to do that, is that because you oivid lifnei melech, when you oivid in the Beis HaMikdash, who's there, who you oivid lifnei? Oivid lifnei melech, u'memeila haim rabim v'kashim v'dakim. Because you know that the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash are very similar to the halachos of Shabbos. The smallest breach, there's chayv misa. A seemingly insignificant little tipper on Shabbos, you chayv misa. The same as the Beis HaMikdash. Anywhere else, you know, we'd even notice it. There are many and they're very, very subtle. You have to be a chochem gadol to know all these subtleties. Shabbos is also like that. Because the matzav of Shabbos is yoimid lifnei ha-melech. You're in the Beis HaMikdash, like we saw earlier, we compared. Shabbos is mamash stepping into the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, there's no way that you couldn't be michshol if you don't learn the halachos properly. So that's another job we have to take on now. We have to start becoming bokim hilchus Shabbos. Maybe when you finish hilchus tefillah, we'll start learning hilchus Shabbos. I actually asked Rav Chesna once, why doesn't he write a book? Because that would be fantastic, no? To have Rav Chesna's sefer on hilchus Shabbos, it would be moiridik. He said he's too scared.
Yeah.
It's too mesubach and there's too many derises and there's too many things wrong. He said he was ma'od mefachet from that. Apparently, he has come out with certain halachas now. I have to find out which ones on Hilchus Shabbos. Well, he hasn't come out. He has sukkahs, Pesach. He has the whole range of Shabbos. He hasn't. But apparently, there is something there. I must ask his brother what the latest news is on Hilchus Shabbos there. Maybe we'll find some way to learn. I found it was very useful. We learned together with one of my rabbis. We learned Rav Posen's Kitzei Hilchus Shabbos. Was written for the seminary girls. What's nice about it is it goes lefi the malachas, the state of the malachas, but he cross-references the Mishnah Brura all the time. The Mishnah Brura is very hard to learn Hilchus Shabbos because it's all out of Seder and it's not really very difficult to extract. But if you're learning at Kaseder, you have a framework, you have a structure, and you have the halachas, and then you go to the Mishnah Brura and you see where each thing fits. We learned used to know that was more useful. So that's whatever we have to do, maybe. Okay, I'm not saying you don't. Chas v'chilei, I'm talking to myself. I don't learn enough Hilchus Shabbos. Shabbos is a good time to learn Hilchus Shabbos, but anyway. Very good, Rabbi Sai. Have a good Shabbos. And
good Shabbos. Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Call two.